Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
To the Compound Podcast. This is episode 203, 203, 204. Like I said, 204 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Connect Roasters. ConnectRoasters.com to get all of your coffee needs. Plenty of roasts, plenty of different varieties, whatever you're into. ConnectRoasters.com. Two codes. Code COMPOUND15 for 15% off anything site-wide. Or if you want to join the Home Run Club, which is a subscription that comes straight to your door every month. That is code Compound Club for 25% off your first order. Also with Connect, we got Cold Brew. Maybe some exciting news coming soon. Maybe some exciting news around the Cold Brew coming soon. All right, ConnectRoasters.com. Dakota's room is as dark as it gets. And if you notice, there's three of us here. We got Tom, we got me and Dakota. Zach chose, he said, I'm out. He said, I'm not doing the podcast this week. He said, don't want to do it. I don't like you guys. He's completely out on the podcast. He hates it. And so Zach's not joining us this week. We'll see. Maybe he'll be here next week. Maybe he won't. No one's going to miss him. You know, we're over it. Sick and tired of it.
Tom is in the chat right now. He can't talk. His roommates are asleep because, but Tom did message in Zach's defense and said, it's 1 a.m. But we're here.
It's 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You know, maybe we tried to find other dates that might work for everybody. Maybe Zach said, nothing works for me. I'm too busy to do the pod. You know what? I'm over it.
I love Zach. We love Zach. We love ZS21. But there are times where he doesn't even like try to find a time. He's like, nope, there's just no time I can do it. I can't do it. And I'm like, it's just really no arguing with it. And it's like, okay.
I flew on a plane from Seattle to Phoenix. As soon as my bag got dropped off, what did I do? I got my mic out. I'm still in my travel suit. I'm doing the pod. You know what? Because I care about the boys.
I love how you say travel suit, like you're wearing like a tie and a button up, like you're wearing a fucking hoodie and like sweatpants. Right. You probably have sweatpants on, like you're not wearing.
It's a travel sweatsuit, which is that better?
Yeah, but you're not wearing like a button up and a tie and like these slacks. Travel like you're in comfy clothes.
And you have time to change.
This episode has the potential to just go off the rails at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
With just the loopiness I can already feel in Ian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It could be off the rails any second. Let's start by talking about the Masters. Got to talk about it. I didn't get to watch much of it today. Sad. I was too busy working. But Scottie Scheffler, just steady as it gets. Steady as it gets. Second green jacket in 3 years. Pretty dominant performance all the way around.
You sneaky didn't really miss anything. I was watching it. The front nine was interesting. Like, it was close. But like around like hole 11, like Scotty went up like two or three and it was just kind of over from there. And it would, yeah. Like Tom said, he watched it. It sucked. It really was kind of boring Tom, because I mean, Scotty just dominated.
Can't you just appreciate how good Scotty was? How steady Eddie is? Not phased.
We appreciate how good he is, but can't say the gesture
you
Tom
can't
just
laugh.
Gave.
You can't laugh.
Did you saw his gesture?
Tom, no, what's happening in this podcast is that Dakota's just laughing at the things that Tom is doing and gesturing and putting in the chat with zero context to the listener of what's happening.
I said I quoted Tom like twice. I can't say the gesture he just made. If you're watching on the YouTube, you'll see it was funny.
Black himself out for that one.
But yes, Scotty dominated. It was kind of tough to see my boy Tiger. Set a record for cuts made and then proceed to set his own record for worst ever round on Saturday with an 82. But he looked healthy. Yeah, made the cut.
Didn't seem like the body was feeling too good after the 23 or 24 holes he had to play on.
See, and I love Tiger. I'm a diehard Tiger fan. And again, he's been through a lot of injuries. He's had a lot of surgeries, but it does seem like once the rails fall off and around, all of a sudden, there's a little limp. There's a little limp after a shot here or there. But if he's playing well, you're not seeing it. And I love Tiger. I love him. but that's just my unbiased opinion.
He was limping coming up on Friday. But can I just say one thing about Tiger? It seems like they always put him in the afternoon group on Thursday and then the morning group on Friday. Can we flip that? Can we give him the morning on Thursday so he's definitely going to get that round in and a long rest, send him out in the afternoon on Friday?
I think they should literally look at the weather like a week before and be like, all right, we're putting Tiger on the safer day. Like, yeah. It's Tiger. People, they have to, like, if you want to make money, you will make Tiger make the cut.
He moves.
Like, people watch to watch Tiger.
But also probably a pretty cool viewing day if you were at the Masters on Sunday, because you would have got to go early and watch all of Tiger's round, and then he's finishing just as the leaders are starting.
I will say I woke up today at like 9:15. Tiger was already done, and he was shot like a 4 or 5 over. I was like, okay, I didn't miss anything. Cool.
Do you want to talk about our Seattle trip? I know we've previously done a pod very recently. We talked about our golf, but Dakota was able to come to the Cubbies win on Saturday.
Shout out Ian first for leaving me tickets. The man, what a nice guy. What a gentleman. But shout out VJ, travel secretary. Is that the right title?
Yeah. He has many titles, but yeah.
I was like, he does a billion things. I didn't know what like his official title is, but like he handles, like, you explain what he does for the people. I think we've talked about him before, but just like he literally does everything, like reservations, everything.
VJ is our traveling secretary. That title does not encompass fully what he does. He does absolutely everything. Books literally all of our team travel. That includes hotels. Like some traveling secretaries, like there's a website where you put your tickets in. Like VJ personally you text him your tickets and then he puts all of them in. Like he basically takes every responsibility he can and puts it on himself so that we don't have to do anything. It's pretty incredible. But rental cars, restaurant reservations, any kind of travel, your family's travel if you want, like, and then coordinating entire team travel as things change, like buses, planes, like all of that is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you had people, Scott was telling me this, haven't you had people like come over to the Cubs and be like, no knock on any other travel secretaries, but they're like, this guy is the best I've ever seen.
I think VJ is far and away the best in the world at what he does, which is pretty incredible. Like he is the absolute GOAT.
So Ian leaves me tickets. VJ sees it's me. He knows we knew each other from back when I played with the Cubbies. Hooks me up. Second row, right down the line from the dugout. Little section 140, row 2. I even got the aisle seat. Good for the big fella. Big fella need a little leg room. That's always good. The seats were cushioned. I'm like, this is crazy. I feel like I'm cool. I get there, sitting there at the game, Sick Stadium. Never been to T-Mobile. Very cool. You said you liked it as well, Ian. Plays very big, though. Didn't like that part.
Very big. Big gaps. Very, very big gaps. But cool ballpark. Good atmosphere. Fans. There's fans there. It's good energy. All three games.
I want to see it with, like, the roof closed, just to experience it.
I would have liked to see the roof closed, too. And it was pretty windy the first 2 days, so, and colder at night. So I would have liked to see a little roof closed, get rid of some of that wind. I was cold.
Tom just chimed in the chat with top 7 park in the league. That's crazy because that tells me he ranks every park. Because if you go 7, like not top 10, not top 5, but he said top 7.
Tom, we can sidebar your top 7. We can sidebar your top 7 parks if you want to put them all in order.
I'm at the game though. Great time. I got there like right before they started the anthem. I was hoping to get there a little sooner, but I live like 45 minutes away. Traffic wasn't actually terrible, but I was hoping to get there a little sooner. But I also knew, I know IH8, I know his personality. I know how I was when I played. I knew he wouldn't have wanted to come over and like chat it up. He's trying to lock in. He's trying to go get a W. He's leading off the game. But the funniest part is I'm sitting there and I think it was the second inning. Might have been the first inning, actually. It was literally the first inning. Morel's playing third base and where we're sitting is literally like in line with third base. Morel like looks over at some point and I'm looking at him. And we like lock eyes and he's kind of like looking at me, but I couldn't tell if he's looking at me because you're sitting in the crowd and he's looking at me. And I think he like recognized it's me. So I gave him like a little head nod. And all of a sudden he just literally waves at me like in between pitches. He's like, like he just gets this big smile. And I'm like, what a guy. He's the best. He's the funniest guy.
He's an absolute sweetheart.
And then he proceeded like the next two pitches to turn and wave to me again, like more and more. And I'm like, hello again. It's the best.
That is so perfectly Morel.
Yeah. Got to see Steely walking in from the bullpen. There's really like four people. There's like four guys I really know on the team still. Like Steel, Nico, you, and Morel. So I got to see you and Morel. I figured Nico's not much of a – he's kind of like you in that. He's locked in. Steel didn't really come too close, and I'm not the guy that's going to like yell out and be like, Steel.
So Steel did say, I'm pissed I didn't get to see Megas.
Yeah, he was like walking in and he was with a bunch of people. And I just, you know, like I played. I know it's like when you're in the game, you're like, you're not trying to deal with the fans.
Can I just say that I did text you after the game to see what you were doing because I would have come out post game.
Hang on. We'll get to that in a second.
I'm not a pregame guy, I'm a postgame guy.
Correct. But like third inning. Ian's jogging in from the field. I'm like, here you go, eight. Come on, eight. I gave you one of those. Nothing. Didn't look. And I was like, fair enough. Knew he wouldn't. I think you hit that inning, broke your bat on a ground out. You're jogging out to the field. You look at me and you just go, fuck. Sorry, censor that. Sorry, Zach's here. Yeah. Zach's gone. Beep. So someone had to do it for him.
I swung a pitch that was a little inside in my first at bat and broke my bat and flew out. And the second at bat, down and away changeup off the end of the bat, broke my bat, grounded out. So I broke two bats in my first two at bats. And
then you hit a missile, your third at bat, though.
Yeah, that got
it was
caught,
an out, but it was a missile.
Which was great. So, yeah, the second at bat, I actually didn't know where you were. I kind of like was scanning right then, and then I found you.
Well, and that's what like. I figured you didn't know where I was. And like I said, like I was telling like my buddies too, I was like that I was there with. I was like, guys are in the game. Like they're not looking around in the crowd like, where's Dakota? Like, let me say hi to him. Like, so I was like, I'm not gonna like try to draw attention and have you look at me. Just the situation arose where you were able to give me a little something. And then after the game, I was like, let's just wait a second, see if Hap comes over. I was like, I don't think he will. But let's just see. So we just waited there for a little bit. And I was like, he's not coming. There's no way he's coming.
I texted you and you didn't. I texted you pretty quick and you didn't text me back until
it was later. Mayhem walking out of the stadium. I couldn't look at my phone. I would have got trampled.
I texted you pretty fast after the game.
You did. And I responded. So I rode down there with one of my roommates and I could have still stayed. I looked up Uber prices. It was $104 for an Uber ride home. And I was like, if I stay, it's going to get expensive. Just can't do it. But then I said to you, like I rode with him, I was like, why? What's the plan? Just kind of, I left the door open. Like I wasn't saying no. I was like, well, what do we got? What do we got? And you're like, yeah, we got a day game tomorrow anyway. So it's all good. I also was in a parking garage when you responded to my first text and we were not moving for 30 minutes in the parking garage. Like the very bottom of the parking garage had no service. So I was like, I hope Ian's not like texting me, like, I'm going to kill you.
When you said nervous, you said I rode with my buddy, so I was just gonna head back.
Yeah, well, that was my plan, but I was like, if you got something, like I'll make it happen.
I didn't have a great room to hang out anyway, and we had a day game, so it wasn't perfect because you wouldn't come to the game Friday when you could have hung out. But that's all right. That's neither here nor there. Oh, because you had to work the next day. Yeah. Oh, so did I. But hey,
in my defense to Friday, if I would have came and hung out. I live 45 minutes away. So say I mean, your game, you'd be back at your hotel at 10:30, 11. Correct?
Can't be tired for work. I get it, man.
10:30, 11. So if I'm there, then say we hang out for like 2 hours. Then I got a 45-minute drive home. Then I'm not up to 2 a.m. And I'm up at 8 to work.
What I was really hoping is that I would have a, like sometimes I'll have two bedrooms in my room.
Ooh.
That's rare, but once in a while. But when I got there, I did that wasn't a possibility. That's what I was hoping.
I would have done that.
Because then you could have stayed. Little slumber party. Gone to work. Yeah, we could have. It would have felt like we were back at the compound.
Yeah.
Cubbies did have a good series in Seattle. Took 2 or 3.
You did text me, thank you for bringing the Cubbies a win. And I was like,
yeah,
of course.
You brought us some mojo. We needed it. And we got a nice win on Saturday and then a nice close win today with some big double plays. Getting out of some jams.
Imanaga, nasty on Saturday, by the way. He's very good.
Shoto's really good.
How about how today's game ended?
With the pickoff?
Oh, little pickoff action.
I mean, we didn't have great camera angles in the stadium, so I couldn't tell. And then the umpires, you know, so whenever there's a review, the crew chief is there and then the umpire who made the call. So the, Bill Miller is the crew chief. He was at home plate. And then the first base umpire who made the call comes over and they're waiting for the review, waiting for the review. Bill Miller says to Adbert, like, throw some pitches. And I'm like, oh man, we didn't get it. And then they keep reviewing it. And I'm like, oh, maybe. And right before, as Bill Miller's about to turn his mic on to say to the stadium, the first base umpire starts sprinting into the into the clubhouse.
So you're like, just like, I wonder what the call is.
Well, no, I'm like, oh, we got it. Because he was like heading off the field, like the game's over. So as like Bill comes on, his call's overturned. It's like, what a way to end it.
I didn't see it live. Did they call him safe at first and you guys challenged?
They called him safe and they overturned it.
Oh. Do you make it a point to know all the umpires' names or do you just kind of learn them from being there so long?
I try to know everybody's names, but it definitely takes time. I'm not like great with names as it is. And like the last thing I want to do is call an umpire by the wrong name. I will say I'm decent, but not great.
Just in case you got to yell at him, you need to know their name. It's not just a strike, Bill.
It's just better like when you come up for your first at bat instead of being like, hey, man, how you doing? To say like, hey, Bill.
Maybe he helps you out on a call or two because you knew his name.
We also did have the first game of the series. Chad was back there and missed one pitch the whole game.
That's crazy.
Might have been on me, but that's okay. I still walked. Was but it? one pitch the entire game, which is pretty impressive.
That is wild.
One pitch from a perfect game.
We've talked about it plenty of times, but umpiring is just impossible.
Oh.
It's incredible how good they are. Like, I'll see some on TV, and like they have the K zones on TV, and the ball's like just below the K zone, and it's a ball, and they call it a ball. I'm like, if I'm watching that live and I'm pitching, I'm like, where is that? That's right there. That has to be a strike.
And it's impressive because they do a great job of getting 90%+ correct.
Mm-hmm. Because you know if they miss it, they're gonna get yelled at.
They're getting earful.
They're gonna hear something. I feel like you're not a yell guy. You're more just like you just tell them like that's not a strike.
The only time that I really get upset is if I'm grinding in at a bat and it's strike three. I'll let them know if I think that it's off or I think that it's a ball. You know, but
give me a little they call a borderline one a strike. What do you turn into say? What's like your go-to say? Like,
it depends if they've got me before in the game or like it's blatantly like bad and I know it's a ball, it'll be like that's down, like that's, I know that's in, that's not a strike. But if it's borderline and like it's a 50-50 to me, I think it's a ball, but it's borderline, I'll ask if it's the corner. Say, like, hey, you get like right in the inside corner. They say yes. Be like, all right, no farther than that. Yeah. Okay.
I feel just like you're one of those.
Just to establish.
Yeah. And you're one of those guys that's like earned the respect from umps. Like you walk a lot. Like guys like you and like Joey Votto walked a lot. Like guys like that have walked a lot throughout their career. Juan Soto, they're like, if he's telling me it's a ball, like he's probably right. Like I feel like in the back of their mind, they're like, I don't think he would tell me that if it was actually a strike.
I think trying to be pretty fair, like if I go back, if I say something to a guy and like get upset and I go back and look at the iPad and like it's a strike, then the next at bat when I go up there, I will say like, hey, that's my fault. I didn't see it well. That was a strike. Like, good call, my bad.
Yeah, and I feel like
trying to be fair with guys, because there are definitely guys out there that just like are always saying that they're right and like leading the umpires astray, and I try to be like very honest.
Yeah, fair. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get more calls. I'm just trying to get the zone called.
That's fair. I can live with that as a former pitcher.
What else have you seen happening in the baseball world? We got the NL Central's off to a good start. I'll tell you that. Pirates are 11-5. Brewers are 10-4. Cubs are 9-6. Reds are 9-6. I think best winning percentage in a division right now.
Yeah, it's got to be because every other division I'm looking at, I mean, it's wild American to see the Astros League, 6-11.
American League East is in a pretty good spot.
That's in breaking news. Breaking news, the American League East is gross. Like, that's five teams that could all, like, preseason, you'd be like, yeah, they can make the playoffs. Like, I feel like the Red Sox probably were maybe, like, the worst projection. I don't know if that's true or not, but, like.
And they're playing pretty good ball. 9-7. Yeah.
It's also just so early that.
So early, none of it matters.
And it's baseball. Like you could, like, the Astros are 6-11. They're going to make the playoffs. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, I'll be in absolute shock.
There's still so much that can happen. It's just so, we're 2 weeks into this thing, you know, it's so early.
Jackson Holliday got his first hit today.
I did see that. Good for him. Congratulations. Very exciting.
He's got to come. How quickly did you get your first hit when you debuted? Was it your first at bat?
No, it's like my fourth. First game.
Fourth. First game, though. Okay. I was going to say, there's got to be like one of those, like when someone's chasing a record too, and then like when someone's chasing their first hit, like each at bat, like the pressure grows of like, all right, this can't keep going, right?
Yeah. I mean, usually it's like the first game or two. And then if it goes longer than that, then I think that's when it gets a little bit of like, you just like everybody on the team just like really wants that guy to get their first knock.
Yeah. Okay, man, let's get you one, huh? Like, yeah. Lay a bunt down. Let's see if you can beat it out.
Just get something in there. Get something to drop. We do have a baseball milestone to talk about. But first, that baseball milestone is brought to you by SeatGeek.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ian. You actually had the wrong ad copy because whoever was producing the show at 1:45 in the morning did a terrible job. But I'm here to make sure that we tell you about our friends at SeatGeek. Baseball season is back, and SeatGeek is hooking us up with a new special offer for the month of April. Everyone can use code COMPOUND10. That's code COMPOUND10 for 10% off any tickets on SeatGeek, whether you're a new customer or not. Baseball season's officially here, and artists like Drake, Hozier, and Bad Bunny are on tour. You already know that SeatGeek is the best place to get tickets. No matter how many times you've bought tickets before using SeatGeek, Compound 10 is going to get you 10% off your next order. So take out your phone, open the SeatGeek app, and use code COMPOUND10 right now. What are you waiting for? Add code COMPOUND10 to your account. Do it now because this offer is only available through the end of April. Code COMPOUND10 for 10% off your next order. All right, let's get you right back into this episode of Compound.
I would have used SeatGeek if I didn't have a good pal and have to leave me tickets.
There you go. I am your SeatGeek.
That's right.
The milestone I was referring to is Andrew McCutchen hit his 300th homer.
Pretty sick. To be back in a Pirates uni too.
Yeah. I mean, 300 homers is so many homers. It's an absurd amount of home runs. And you know, you see guys hit 500, 600. It's awesome, obviously huge. And pull us with 700 a couple years ago. But 300 homers in the big leagues is such an impressive career. I mean, I think my math is right there. That's 15 homers for 15 years. Is that right? Did I do that math right? Please tell me I did. Please tell me I did.
No, it's 20 homers.
That could not be. 20 homers. That could not be more wrong. Could not be more wrong.
20 homers.
20 homers for 15 years. It's late. 20 homers for 15 years, just like super impressive amount of consistency, being healthy, playing that long. Like, that's a huge, huge number. And that dude should have a statue at PNC when he's done. Super cool. He's back in a Pirates uniform and able to get that milestone with that team. And they're playing really good baseball to start the year. So really cool. And then I know the fan came down and it was a Pirates fan that caught it in Philly, I think. Is that right, Tom? Can you correct me there? Pretty sure. Maybe.
I'm going yes.
I think it was a Pirates fan that caught it in Philly, and then the fan came down after the game and like was able to meet him and stuff. It's just pretty cool. And the people in Pittsburgh love McCutchen.
It's very cool. And it's sick. Like, it's gotta be so hard. Like, people underestimate, I think, how hard it is to hit 300 home runs in the big leagues. Like, when you're playing
15 years and you hit 20 homers a year. Like, that's not easy to do. Not a lot of guys do that. So it's pretty sick to see. Where do you stand, Ian? What do you have to do to earn a statue? Like you said, he needs a statue when he's done. I feel like statues, not that McCutchen doesn't deserve one, but I feel like statues are, that's pretty, like, you got to do a lot to get one of those in any sport.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think you have to play for the team for a long time. Obviously, be a really good player, but like Andrew McCutchen won an MVP there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Only one guy gets out of here. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm thinking Cubs, and I'm thinking, and we all wish this would have happened, but if Riz would have stayed a Cub for life, I think he would have deserved a statue. Not that he does. I think he would have had to stay a Cub for life to get a statue.
I think that's fair.
Like, if you play with one team, and McCutchen's played basically like 90% of his career as a Pirate. But like, if Rizzo would have stayed forever and he was like the captain of the team that broke the curse, like, that's, that guy's getting a statue.
Yeah.
And that's fair. That'd be pretty sick.
McCutchen will have played 11 seasons with the Pirates and 5-time All-Star, 5 consecutive All-Star games with the Pirates. There was a 4-year stretch there where he finished 3rd in the MVP, 1st, 3rd, and 5th. 4 straight Silver Sluggers, a Gold Glove, 4 straight All-Star games in that span. So, like, crazy career with the Pirates. Obviously, you know, 300 homers, people in the city love him. And I think some of it's about, like, the respect you get from the city, what people, like,
he's
a really, really impressive career and, like, that amount of time spent in Pittsburgh. And he was a part of some really good teams there. Those with 14, 15 teams that were really good. And
he's one of those guys respected by the whole league too, I feel like. Like, he's one of those guys, like, universally loved around baseball. Like, nobody hate, maybe, like, a bitter rival probably still does. Like, no matter how much you're liked, like, your bitter rival doesn't like you. But, like, I feel like no one really hates McCutchen. Like, he just seems like a really good dude.
Yeah, I think there's just a ton of respect for him. And, like, dude, the year that he won the MVP, 21 homers, 84 RBIs, but 317 with a 404 on base and a 508 slug. That's 911. And he also had some bags in there too. 27 bags, you know, 23 bags, 20 bags the year before that. 953. He finished 3rd. 952. Led the league in OPS, on base percentage, and OPS plus, and finished 3rd in MVP. Like, he just had some crazy years, and like his, I don't know, pretty awesome career. And like, to have that, like, if you hit 280 or 290, like, to have that 300 milestone is a big deal.
For sure.
Not that many members of the 300 home run club, especially in the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
What's your total at?
I don't know, 120 something.
We'll get you there.
Yeah.
You got 10 years left in you. Hopefully. You're 20. 28, 20, no, you're 29. You're my age.
29, 10 years left. Long time. Like, yeah, I'm 40. Yeah, 10. Yeah, why not? Fine. I want to circle this conversation back. We got a little off the rails for a second. I want to circle this conversation back. Tom brought up that T-Mobile is in his top 7 ballparks. So I want to do a little Tom's, we're going to call this Tom's Top 7.
Brought to you by
Bruce Bolt.
Bruce Bolt.
Bruce Bolt. .us, Bruce Bolt, the batting gloves. Did I wear the batting gloves that the guy that is on our podcast is and here, Zach Short wears? And they also have game hats. They have game hats. You can get your team. Yes, you got a center ball team coming up. Order your game hats. BruceBolt.us. Customize them with your team's logo. Grab my batting gloves. White with baby blue, all baby blue. BruceBolt.us.
I could be wrong, but I feel like I see them everywhere. Maybe just because, like,
everyone,
I know of them now, but I feel like guys in the driveline facility, like, I see Bruce Bolt, like, everyone wears them.
There's a lot more guys in the big leagues wearing them right now. And like, if you go, not that I am like going to youth sporting events very often, but like, you're talking about driveline or a high school game or like a tournament, like, there are Bruce Bolt batting gloves everywhere. Like, they're just, they're so hot in the streets. That's so sick. If you want to be cool, BruceBolt.us.
Get the baby blue ones. Get the in-hap ones.
Come on. Why not? Tom's
Did you
top
look
seven.
At Tom's top seven? Did you look
I
at
have
him
looked
yet?
At Tom's top seven.
I laughed
want to go
the
through.
Second I looked at it.
Tom gave, not only did Tom give us a top seven, he gave us two top sevens. He made a swap after he made his first top seven. Now, after he claimed that T-Mobile was a top seven ballpark, of course, in this list, he put T-Mobile seventh both times. So he has, this is also a crazy, crazy top seven because it's all AL East or New York stadiums. Yeah. He put T-Mobile at seven, New Yankee Stadium at six. In his
Hang on. The best part is that Tom can't talk to like defend himself. So he put this in and then he put two Yankee stadiums in there. I'm like, I wonder who he's a fan of. Sorry, keep going. You got
it's unbelievable.
T-Mobile seven.
T-Mobile seven. We got New Yankee Stadium at six. Milwaukee at five.
No. City Field.
Wait. In the second list, Milwaukee gets replaced with Camden. Okay, so Milwaukee was in the first list. It's axed for the second list. So now we got T-Mobile at seven, New Yankee Stadium at six, City Field at five, Fenway at four. We got Camden at three, Wrigley at two, and Old Yankee Stadium is one. So it's basically the entire AL East minus.
Well, Blue Jays in Tropicana. Blue Rogers Jays Center in Tropicana.
So we got three. We got two New Yorks, two more AL East, and then City Field, and then the courtesy T-Mobile because he already claimed them as a top seven ballpark.
It was also, he said, parks he's been to be fair.
Is it,
so he
it's
hasn't
only,
been to
it's
all
only,
of them.
It's only parks you've been to? Okay. It's not all parks. But
he's got some honorable mentions coming in late here.
Cincy, Anaheim, and Philly are honorable mentions. So we got honorable mentions coming in. He also did say that Riz catching the final out will be a statue. I don't think that unless Riz comes back and like plays a couple years with the Cubs to end his career, I don't know that there'll be like a Rizzo statue, but I could see there definitely being like a 2016 statue.
Is there murmurs of Rizzo coming back? Is that what you're saying right now?
Oh my god. Early breaking news. I think he's a free agent after this year.
Interesting.
I'm gonna think about trying to make my top seven. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna ask you your top five. I don't even know if I could go to seven. I think I've been to seven. I'm gonna rank mine. No, you're gonna write yours down.
Wait, are you just gonna like? Are you just gonna like put them out there, or what? How are you gonna do this?
I'm trying to think if I've been to seven. I've been to Comerica. I've been to PNC, Bush, Wrigley, U.S. Cellular, T-Mobile, ballpark at Arlington. I think that's all I've been to. So I think that's seven. All right, I'm ready with my seven. Actually, I'm ready already. Right, so you're going to go last because yours is more like you played them. So you have a better idea. Number seven. This is maybe the least surprising answer you'll ever hear. U.S. Cellular. Last place. Really no interest in going back there. Never watching a game again. Just not a very cool park. Plain and simple. Number six. I'm going to go Comerica six. Like I don't dislike Comerica, but it was nothing crazy. Like I thought it was cool ish. It was fine. Number five. I'm going to go T-Mobile at five. Number four. I got Wrigley, PNC, Bush, which is the Cardinals. PNC is the Pirates for those that don't know. Ballpark at Arlington is the old Rangers park. I'm going to go four ballpark at Arlington. Very cool place. Glad I got to go there before they switched. Number three. You're going to puke at my number three. Number three is Wrigley. Come on. This is strictly on how, like, so I've never played at Wrigley. I've never been on the field at Wrigley. I've been to PNC and Busch because when I was on the tax squad, I was on the field and it looked sick. No, I'm going to switch. I'm going to go PNC three. PNC 3, Wrigley 2, Bush 1. It's gross. I know you hate it. But Bush was so cool. I thought it looked unbelievable. Wrigley, for me, just going to see a game,
It's more the aura around the place that makes it so cool, but the seats are very cramped. It's an older stadium, obviously, and I'm just not comfortable in my seat. But like the atmosphere is incredible and everything else is incredible. It's more the comfort of sitting in my seat I didn't really love. That's why it's two. There it is.
I'll go all the way down to seven. I'm going to go seven, Target Field. I think Target Field in Minnesota.
Oh, fuck. I've been to Target Field. I forgot about Target Field.
It's a pretty cool ball yard there. I like Target Field. Target Field seven.
I got to make an amendment. I got to kick out U.S. Cellular. Target Field is six. Seven is Comerica. Sorry, go.
City Field's my honorable mention. I'll go Target at seven. I'm going to go.
You've been to every park besides Fenway, correct?
Yeah. But Fenway's on my list. I'm going to go Dodger Stadium at six.
Fenway's on your list, and you've never been there. Interesting.
It's on my baseball parks list. I'm sure it will. I feel very strongly that this is where it will sit after I play there. Stop interrupting my list. Dodger Stadium at six. Dodger Stadium, very hard to see during the day. And not great showers, not a great clubhouse, but really cool atmosphere. And the field is perfect. Go ahead.
Is Dodger Stadium cool? Like, not besides playing there, like, is it a cool stadium though? Like, I feel like it kind of looks not that great. Like, when I see it on
really,
TV,
it's really big. It's really big. Sound system's really loud. The playing surface is absolutely perfect.
Okay.
It's a great atmosphere there.
I think Anaheim looks like a cooler stadium to me than the Dodgers does. Like on TV, it just looks cooler to me. That's
Anaheim's
my opinion.
Old.
Anaheim's Never been old. To either one, but that's my opinion.
Yankee Stadium, five.
Old or new?
Never been to the old one. Just the new
one. So new. Fair enough.
I would put all of the Yankee stadiums on here if I could, but I can only just do the one. San Diego, Petco is four. Petco's pretty great. Pretty amazing surface, and the atmosphere there the last few years has been pretty electric.
I know Tom can't say anything, but it is funny that for everyone, Ian gives the good surface, and it's like, who can relate to that though?
Sorry, San Diego and Dodger Stadium are the best surfaces in the big leagues. It's not close. Fenway is my three. A lot of history there. I've actually been to Fenway. I haven't played there, but I've been there.
Okay. Then I'll give you that. That's fine then. That's fine then.
PNC is two. PNC Park, obviously, I have some Pittsburgh allegiance, but like PNC is beautiful. Skyline in the background, river right across. PNC is a beautiful, beautiful ballpark.
It is. No, I'm with you. I had PNC as my three. We're waiting on bated breath for your number one. Wonder what it could be. Let's hear it.
Wrigley Field by far and away number one. Do I have some allegiance to the Cubs? But like the atmosphere,
you're paying $20 million this year.
Atmosphere at Wrigley Field in a day game in July, it just doesn't get better than that. It does not get better than that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'd like to flip. I'm going to flip Wrigley to my one and Busch to my two. But you know, do you like Busch?
It's also really Busch Stadium.
I've never been to Camden.
Camden's old. Camden's cool, but it's old.
So is Wrigley.
Wrigley's old, but like Wrigley Fenway, like they're old, like classic old, and like renovated, like classic old renovated. Like Camden's a little old.
I'd like to amend Wrigley to my one. I'm keeping Busch at two.
PNC Tom, if you here's what I don't like about Camden, I'll just tell you. If you play there on the visiting side, if you have to go to the cage. You have to leave. You have to go out from the dugout. You have to go up to the locker room. From the locker room, you have to go into the depths of the stadium, into the hallway. You have to walk down like 200 yards, and then the cage is like around the corner, like in an old, what would have been like some old storage room that they put the cage in. So like, those are the things that when you play at the parks and like, the, like in Cleveland, the cage is like a 45-minute walk away. You're like, what's happening here? Good cage goes a long way. Sneaky good cage. America.
You have to remember, Tom, his list is based on like as a player. Our lists are based on like a fan, like experience.
Ian's is like, like the showers aren't great. I don't know. I'm gonna have to put it
down. Dodger Stadium bad showers. So we did have cold water. We had cold water at T-Mobile, and we had cold water in Texas. Don't love that.
Ooh, that's surprising.
AOS is hitting us with cold water.
Are you not a Bush fan?
I like Bush Stadium. Bush Stadium's good atmosphere. It's a huge ballpark. So cool. Gets hot. So cool. Gets so hot there.
It felt to me, and you'd have a better idea of this because you played in every park except Wrigley, or except Fenway. When I was at Bush, I felt like, and again, I've only been on the field in like three or four big league stadiums. I felt like the stands were like on top of me. Like I felt like encapsulated on the field. And I thought that was like sick.
Where?
At Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just big and there's like a ton of fans.
And when I was there, it was literally the last series of the season. And I think Cubs had already missed the playoffs. I think the Cardinals were going to the playoffs and it was still like a packed house. And I was like, not that I was out there for the game, but like even pregame, I was like, this is pretty cool. Pretty cool. But yeah, I think I got to switch Wrigley to one. Just the environment is so cool.
Tom, what if I told you, besides the historic stadiums, Fenway, Wrigley, that Camden is like the fifth or sixth oldest ballpark?
Really?
How'd you feel about that? Because it's Fenway, Wrigley, Dodger Stadium was built in 62, LA was built in 66, Oakland Coliseum 68. So those are like, everybody knows they're pretty old stadiums. Kansas City was built in 73. That is their, they have plans for a new ballpark. Toronto is 89, just had a renovation. Guaranteed rate, 91. And then Camden.
Is Guaranteed rate, isn't that the White Sox new name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I called it U.S. Cellular. Same thing.
All right.
Still stinks. Still stinks. Did you like Kansas City? Not really. It was okay.
It's so big.
Yeah. I feel like I thought Zach said he loved Kansas City.
The outfield's so big, and so that makes me sad.
Yeah. You got a lot of room to cover, and you got to hit it really far.
You got to hit it really far to get it out of the ball yard. I hit a ball there in 2020 to left center. I absolutely smoked it, like 104 plus off the bat and late in the game. And the center fielder ran it. It would have been a homer in a lot of places. The center fielder ran it down. It made me so sad. He jumped to the wall and caught it.
We're just going to... Then, which do you like more, Rogers Center or Tropicana? Like, how is it playing in a dome? Rogers is it crazy?
Center.
Is it Rogers
Center's been renovated.
Is it weird playing in a dome?
No. No.
Is it cool? Not really that different.
It's not that different. I mean, there's no weather to deal with, which is nice. No wind, but like, there's some cool domes like Miller Park. I like Miller Park. Rogers Center. Texas. We're about to play in a dome in Arizona.
Where's Comerica on your full list of the whole MLB? Middle? Back end?
Back end.
Yeah. It's fair. It's a huge park.
Huge.
Massive.
Even after they moved it in a little bit. I would like to give a shout out. Keegan Thompson came in the other night, got recalled from AAA, came back with a mustache. You'd love to see it. Do you see that mustachio, Dakota? Would have made you proud. I know you swore to
be. I think he's been a stash guy for a little bit. Has he not?
I don't think maybe he had the stash. I don't think he had the stash rocking in spring training, but he brought out the mustachio.
He pulls it off, though.
He definitely pulls it off. And came back up and gave us two solid innings, no runs, looked really, really good and super impressive. You know, he's got the four seam. He's got the curveball.
Cutter.
He threw a backdoor cutter late in a bat, maybe 3-2, that was just absolutely dotted. Like, it's a super impressive pitch when a righty can, like, have a full at bat and not really use the cutter. And then, like, I don't know where, backdoor cutter with two strikes. Like, really, really good pitch. But great to have him back. Great to see him pitching well. And I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Well, it's cool to see, too, because he came up. I forget what year he debuted. Maybe it was 21 or 22. And he dominated. Like, he was like the go-to guy out of the pen. He'd come in and throw
three innings, like no runs, six punchies. And then he hit like a little bit of a skid, I want to say last year, like middle of last year. And like to just kind of get knocked down like that and be like, uh-oh, like what's going on here? And then to be able to like go into the offseason and kind of figure things out and come back and then like work his way back up to the big leagues and shove like that in his first outing of the season, like really cool to see. And he's a good dude, like really nice guy.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's, this is fourth year pitching in the big leagues. He, you know, 21, had a really good year, mostly coming, six starts, mostly coming out of the bullpen with a 3.38, did really, really well. And then in 2022, made 17 starts out of the, and then out of the bullpen too, was kind of swingman going back and forth, doing a lot for us, ended up kind of settling into that like late inning role, but 115 innings that year. And then obviously, you know, some little bit of struggles last year, got sent down, spent more time than he would have liked down. And then to be able to come back and kind of first time out, really, really effective, like awesome for him. Like he could be a huge piece for us. So just really cool to see.
This is very armchair managing. My vision as a nobody where I see Keegan Thompson thriving is like the bridge guy. Like say your starter goes five, he's at 90 pitches. Keegan throws 6-7 and then you hand it over to your late guys.
It's also, it's really hard to do that. It's really hard to do. I don't think people realize like being the long guy is a challenging role. Having the, like the up down, being able to throw multiple innings, being able to like as a reliever throw one inning, sit down, get back up, do it again. It's not easy. And like being asked to pitch in a lot of different situations, whether the game's 5-5 and the starter comes out through four innings and you have to throw a couple innings, or whether that is like the starter goes 5 1/3 and you need to give the team two innings to get to the 7th, 8th, 9th guys, like that, it calls for a lot of different times to be ready. And kind of, you're not just like waiting for the team to be up three runs late in the game. Like you're available at all times. And that's kind of a high stress job. And it's not easy to do.
Yeah. And he was very good at it. And I feel like you said, he could help you guys a lot if he settles into that role and continues his success with the Cubbies.
We do have one fan question I want to get to before we go. I asked about what a typical travel day in the major leagues looks like. What are the perfect times? Timing. What's the itinerary? So I thought after today, I would discuss that. So like today, finish the game. The bus times are usually an hour and a half after the game. So in that time, maybe you guys get a lift in because it's day game to night game. You might go and get a little work in the training room from either the massage therapist or trainer. So like today, finished the game, went straight to get my back work done a little bit. And then eat, shower, pack your bag. And the whole, like the train, I don't think people, like the visiting clubbies do a lot of packing too, but like we bring so much stuff on the road. Like our whole, when you show up, there's nothing in the training room except for tables. So we bring all of the training room equipment, all of the different machines and stuff that guys use, all like some, like a huge trunk for the weight room, all the extra uniforms, all the bats, all the balls, like there's just so much stuff. And so they have to get that all onto the trucks. Like all the weight, the strength coaches are responsible for everything in the weight room. Trainers are responsible for everything in the training room. The clubhouse guys are responsible for all of like uniform, balls, bats, all that stuff. So it's just a lot of stuff to get packed up. Get on the bus, go to the airport, go to TSA, get on the plane. We had three-hour flight today, just under 3 hours. And then get back, well, bus to the
tell
hotel.
People how you pull right up to the plane too. Like you're not going into the airport.
You're not going into the airport. You do, the bus takes you right to the plane. Still do have TSA, but the bus takes you right to the plane.
What do they got on that plane for you, Ian?
We got some food. We got Jimmy John's today, actually, on the plane. Jimmy John's, got your snacks. Played a little cards on the plane.
I just remember the one time I was up for the taxi squad, I crushed I think two chicken sandwiches and I wanted Chick-fil-A. A third. Yeah, they had Chick-fil-A and I was like, I can't be the guy that's just pounding chicken sandwiches and like people are looking at me like, who the fuck's this guy? What's this guy doing here? Like, why is he eating so many sandwiches?
Did you have a third?
No, no.
Come on.
Nope. Couldn't be that guy.
One to go. But when you're smart,
had to be smart about it. And I was nervous to even play cards. I was like, I don't want to just like step right in here and think like, oh, I can just hop right in and play.
So the game was at 1:10 today. I texted you guys when we got to the hotel. That was at just after 9 p.m.
And then you wait. When you get to the hotel, they take your bags and bring them to your room for you.
So the bags come on a truck. So like they unload. I should explain that. So when the plane lands, they unload the plane into two trucks. One truck is luggage that goes to the hotel, and the other truck is all the baseball stuff that goes to the stadium. So that night, all the stuff will go to the stadium. The visiting clubhouse staff will be there. They'll unpack all that stuff, put it in the different rooms or whatever, wherever it needs to go. And then the other truck goes to the hotel. Our clubhouse staff will be at the hotel getting all the bags off the truck and then getting them to the different rooms.
It's quite the process that I don't think people realize is pretty crazy. Like a lot of moving parts going on to make sure you don't leave anything behind.
And all the people that have to like, all the people it takes just to like have one travel day.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd have a pretty full plane full of stuff. All right, let's get people to Sloan screen time. Thank you for grinding through this episode with us. A lot of West Coast travel makes it tough, but we're going to be back on our normal schedule soon. You know, maybe Zach's going to the West Coast right after I go to the West Coast. We'll figure it out. Zach just never be on the, he'll just never be on the pod again.
No, we can't let that happen. We can never let him go.
Come on. We like him. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. The company is at the forefront of the green building movement and provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flush-o-meter, faucet, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit Sloan.com. I think that Zach is just going to do the pod with Dakota next week. How about that?
We talked
I'm
about
just kidding.
This last week.
I'd never miss a pod.
You're the straw that stirs the drink. You bring the people in. They come here to hear IHH speak.
Oh, no.
And you're like the host. We're not good at staying on the rails without you. Me and Zach could go a million different ways if it's just us two. And if you throw Scotty into the mix, things get crazy.
I just want to hear you guys go off the rails for an hour.
It'd just be Tom yelling at us every 10 minutes.
I'm at 4 hours and 37 minutes.
I'm at 6:36. Not bad, honestly, for an off day for me. 6:36.
Tom said he's at 22 minutes because he's using his Monday screen time. Tom, what's your Sunday screen time? Come on. Tell us what it is.
It's got to be
Sunday screen time.
It's probably pretty bad. He said it is Monday.
Oh my God. Tom hates it that much. Is it over 8?
Is it over 10? See you next week.
Tom, you have to tell us. Before we go, you have to tell us.
He said it's 2:05 a.m.
That's episode
204.
204 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Connect Roasters, connectroasters.com for all of your coffee needs. Go check it out. Tom will give us his Sunday screen time on the Twitter, and then he'll tell us again next week just so we can say it twice. We'll see you next week.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.